Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we've got a new friend, Carl Johnson, joining us now. Carl is a managing partner of Bloom Shapiro, the largest regional accounting, tax, and business consulting firm in New England, and he's brought with him some very important and very interesting international research on family business planning. Carl Johnson, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me.
It's good to have
you. Yeah, I think it's a great study on succession planning.
Yeah, I mean, the study, by the way, folks, is by a company out of Australia, right, Carl? Baker Tilly International, is that right?
Correct. It's a university in Australia, and Baker Tilly International did the study, and Bloom Shapiro, which I'm a part of a 400-person firm here in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, is one of the member firms of Baker Tilly, but a lot of our network companies, like ourselves, deal with a lot of family-owned businesses, so this study was important to us, and it's basically a call to action to the older generation to put it on their to-do list to start looking at succession planning.
Now, this is international, so give us a real quick high-level just touch the bases in the countries around the world. Did they study Asia? Did they study Europe?
They studied the world. There was over 2,000 family-owned businesses they studied, but there was 500. About 25% of them were in the U.S.
Right. But where were the other families?
Well, Europe, Australia, Asia.
Okay. All right.
You know, all over the world.
The reason I said that's important is because, boy, howdy, are there different ideas, and they discovered this in the survey, how the different regions of the globe feel about succession planning. I mean, some countries, it's an article of faith that your child is going to, at least one of the children, will take over the business. And in other countries, like the United States, it's less of an article of faith every year, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think U.S., I think that's the trend in the U.S. that it's showing is, it used to be, you know, the son or daughter would just take over the business and would carry on, and that wasn't an issue. I think sons and daughters have a lot of different interests these days. They've seen how hard their parents have to work to run this business, and like I said, with the different interests, they may want to go off and do something different. And so that's where I think the study says it's really important for the older generation, which happens to be the baby boomers are all retiring. They're all turning 65 for the next 15-plus years, and it's you really need to start putting this plan in place, you know, 5-10 years before it happens.
At least. Well, you're calling it a new era of succession, aren't you?
Yes. I mean, I think it's because, again, I think the majority, you go back 50 years ago, it was family-owned business, it was just a given that the son or daughter was going to take over. That's not the case nowadays.
Right.
But having said that, you know, a lot of these family-owned businesses, it's a huge piece of the family's wealth. So anything with the wealth involved, there should be an awful lot of planning up front, and it's really to protect the family. And even if the sons and daughters go off and do different things, I think they would both feel, they all would feel it's very important to make sure the right people take over the business, or you sell it at the end of the day for the proper value.
Well, a lot of businesses, you know, I think you're right about what you said earlier about people, you know, the children not wanting to work that hard. I don't know how many people I've spoken to say they were, you know, they were Gen Xers, and they said, you know, I saw my dad and mom kill themselves to try to deal with being a small business owner. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want a job. I want to have a little bit of, even if it's false security, I want to have a little bit more security. And the other problem that I see, and I would like for you to compare this to the report, is a lot of businesses, if they're that successful, or are the let me say this, the level of success is enough that it's worth moving on, is worth continuing the business, but it's not so successful that the parents need cash out of the business sale, and the children aren't able to come up with that.
You know, I think that's a good point. There's all different levels of family-owned businesses as far as profitability, and if it is a family business that has struggled for years, I'm sure the children are looking at that saying, "I don't want to do that."
Mm-hmm.
Just to knock myself out for years and just get enough to live every day. Whereas there's other ones that are very successful, and I would, there's usually one sibling in there that you would hope that would have an interest in the business, and that's all you really need.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
mm-hmm.
need, and it's probably better if there's only one
right.
that's very interested in the business. And if they are, you get them involved in all different types of the operations as early as possible, because those businesses are very successful nowadays and growing.
Mm-hmm.
They're very complex too.
So I want to in the next segment, I want to talk about what we can do specifically to get our businesses ready. But what was some of the most interesting things? I got a couple of minutes in this segment left. What were some of the most interesting things that you found for succession planning in other countries like Europe and Asia?
Well, I do think in Europe, as you mentioned, there's still a huge tide of the, there's a higher percentage. I think it was 10 or 20% higher of the siblings taking over the business
mm-hmm.
than in the U.S. That trend, I think, still exists pretty strong in
mm-hmm.
Europe. But that's definitely not the trend in the U.S. And
what about Asia? I would think it would be even higher in Asia.
Yeah, I would looking back on the numbers, there's strong, and I think that goes back, those countries are just really strong family ties.
That's right. Oh, yeah, no question.
And so it's sort of almost an obligation at
mm-hmm.
times. We have to do it where I think to a certain degree, whether that's good or bad in the U.S.,
right.
that tie has been broken.
Well, I want to point one other thing out, too, as we go to the break here, Carl. I know people my age who decades ago joined the family business right out of college or right out of high school, became the ultimate manager and owner, but they regretted not ever having anything else on their plate as an offer. They regretted that they did that. You know what I mean? They it was understood that they would take over the business, and it was
right.
okay. It was okay in their 20s, but in their 40s or 50s, they felt like they'd been held hostage.
And I think some of the clients that we've had that have had successful transitions and others that haven't, the ones that have succeeded, there's a number of cases where the parents encouraged the children to go out and get another job
yeah.
first.
I think that's smart. Hey, Carl, I need to get you to hold on for
sure.
a second. Quick break, folks. Right back. We got more to come on this research with Carl Johnson.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.